For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual demons. That is the opposite type of wisdom. It's not from God. For where envy, self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit. Have you realized how much the Bible talks about our conversation in our life? Let me give you a few scriptures for that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. How much the Bible talks about the way we speak and to be careful with what we say. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that he may impart grace to the hearers. That he may impart grace to the hearers. Also turn to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And turn over to the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy. Now there's more than these verses, we're only giving you a sample. I was astounded one day about many years back, and I said, I wonder what the Bible said about the Christian conversation. And I was studying the area of whether Christians should joke or not joke. And of course I realize now that there are Christian positive areas of humor and jovialness that is there. But I wanted to really research. If you know me, any subject that I feel need to research, I'll research, and I want to look at the area what the Bible says about joking and jesting. In those days we were so serious with God. Everything we wanted to do, we wanted to make sure it was in the Bible. So before we tell a joke, let me find a scripture to tell a joke. Very serious about everything in the Bible. And so that was when I listed down everything I could find, what the Bible said about conversation, loose lips. And I'm not surprised how many scriptures. In fact, I came up with nearly about 20 plus scriptures on that. So I'm just giving a little bit here and there. In chapter 5, verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So there's a lot of scriptural instruction on warnings of avoiding these kind of things all the time. Then we also look at the book of Titus, verse 9, chapter 3. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Then the Bible is so strict to us. Don't go and when someone just want to argue and talk words, it says the first admonition, second admonition, it says leave that person alone. Because we don't have to use our own ability to convict and convince. Let God do it. Learn the power behind words. We have to be careful in those areas. Chapter 4, area of the sense of discernment, or the nose or smelling. And for discernment to come into our life, there must be what I call a tenderness. A tenderness. That's why in this verse it talks about humbling ourselves before God and weeping before God. In verse 9, lament and moan and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He goes with, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In order to discern, and discernment is an ability that we develop in our Christian life, we need to have very, very tender hearts. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. That tenderness is necessary in order, in verse 11 and 12, that we do not judge another person, but we are merciful to them. So that goes to another verse, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy and tenderness of heart are two important qualities in the development of spiritual discernment. They always go along with love. In Philippians chapter 1, speaking about discernment, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. And what's discernment for? The next verse says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. With a tender heart and a compassionate, merciful ability, we could discern what is really good, what is not really good. It works together in that area. It is the area of the nose smelling out the right things and the right areas. Let me give an example. How many people have missed the move of God because they were critical, judgmental, and hard-hearted? When the charismatic movement first came, I was a denominational man. I was in a traditional church. And at first, my first reaction, and you must know, I'm more leaning to the intellectual side, I question everything. And it would be very hard for me to pray without my understanding, to let go. And my first reaction was when I have never spoken in tongues before, and the first time I heard of it, as a believer, I was not in the seminary yet, I have not gone to the ministry yet, but I was just a young Christian, and one of my schoolmates got filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues and charismatic. And he told me about it. My first reaction was a very judgmental reaction. But God had to deal with my heart and change my heart. And I never got filled in the Spirit in the early days. Until I was in the seminary and I wanted more of God. And I prayed and prayed. And then while then God filled me with the Spirit, when I look back, I realized it was only when I was broken and contrite and I wept before God that I got filled. Now, it doesn't mean everybody has to do that. But that is the method that took place in my life. But the principle behind it was, as long as my heart was hard, critical, and judgmental, God could be doing something new. I can never be blessed. I can never move in. So how can I discern right and wrong when I have a critical heart? You can never. Impossible. Only a tender heart can really discern right and wrong. Which is why we need to keep a tender heart. What is a tender heart? A heart that can weep easily. Tears come easily for you when you're in the presence of God. If you just cannot weep before God, something is wrong. Somewhere on the inside is the Gobi Desert. And you really need to say, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. In fact, you should be praying 40 days and 40 nights. Let it be Noah's flood. Until the desert is turned into a garden. And as I observe the principle of discernment in a Christian life, why some Christians are so easily duped, conned and cheated? Meekness is not weakness. Tender-heartedness is not just without principles, but it means there's a softness and pliability for the Spirit of God to mold and touch you, to form you into anything that He wants you to be in God. And if you notice in your own life when you struggle, God, is this right? Is this wrong? Let me give you very practical, I'm very practical with you. In the business world or in any area, there are some things you struggle. Lord, is this right? Is this wrong? And the preachers may not even have touched on those areas of ethics. And you're not sure what is the right discernment. You know the answer now tonight. Get yourself in a position where you can weep and cry before God in His presence. Then you ask God, you will hear clearly. And even if no preacher in the world has ever faced that situation or been able to advise, and you got no help from anywhere, that discernment will rise up in your life. And I can assure you 100%, when you have wept and cried in the presence of God, and you turn and look at the situation, you will know exactly what to do, which is black, which is white. And if it is black, you will see as black. If it is white, you see as white. But before you cry and before you lament and weep, when you look at it, white at first, black at first, white at first, black at first, zebra. So you're in trouble. You saw a zebra crossing, you're not sure to cross or not. Whether it's a real zebra crossing and whether you'll be run over or not. So some people, without discerning and weeping before the Lord, they tried the zebra crossing and lo and behold, it was a real zebra. And here comes the devil knocking them down. Why? It was painted by the devil. It's important for us to discern. But here James tells us how to develop discernment. Although it's not so direct, but when you begin to study the overview and then pinpoint and zoom down to each area, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why comforted? Aren't we comforted when we know where to go and what to do? From time to time in our lives, in the ministry and in the business world, we struggle with questions and ethical things. Is this right? Is this wrong? And we don't have the answer until we weep before God. And our sensitiveness increase, and you see it clear as day. Praise God. Finally, chapter 5. Praise the Lord. James chapter 5. And after that, we only got 7 more sessions. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm very happy. Complete 2 years of obedience. Chapter 5. On the book of James, he speaks about last area, feelings. Our spiritual sensations on our inside. The spiritual sense of touch. Why is the spiritual sense of touch important? We have a teaching called the 5 sensations of the spirit man. You may have heard that tape before. The 5 different sensations of the spirit man, that there is the we all know there's a green light and a red light, but there is a green light, there is 2 red lights, and there is 2 green lights, a red light and 2 orange light. 5 different sensations. So how do we tell the different sensations in our spirit? The pressure, the heaviness. When sometimes you're walking, God,